Will you join with me in the unison prayer for illumination? O Lord our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 5 through 13. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called on my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? First New Testament, first New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And our second New Testament lesson is Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 34. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourselves. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all of his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. This is the word of the Lord.
In our Isaiah passage this morning, we see the statement, "You are my witness." This is God's direct statement to Israel, "You are my witness." It's almost a court scene. Israel, God's chosen people, is called as a witness for God. What Israel is to know, believe, and understand, and what she is supposed to proclaim to the world is that the God who declared himself to Israel and made himself known in his acts of salvation is God and God alone. There is no Savior apart from him. "I am God, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who can reverse it?" In the midst of a world full of gods, this dramatic and forthright clearing out of the vast amount of underbrush is remarkable testimony. The focus of religious attention must be single in the whole action of God in the past as he had made himself known to Israel. There had been no other power associated with him. He alone had done it. And of this fact, Israel is to be the witness before the world. His is the only effective power in the world. And that witness is also ours. As Christians and followers of God's Son Jesus, we are also called as witnesses for God, to proclaim what God and God alone has done in our lives, in our hearts, and in our minds. As Matthew tells us, we are the light of this world. We are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We are to let our light, the work that God has done and is doing in our lives, shine so that everyone might see God and praise Him. We are the light of the world. We are God's witness in a dark, dark world. Don't hide that light. When we look at our passage in Acts, we see the most amazing light display and witness by Paul and Silas. They had come to Philippi to preach the gospel but ended up in jail, something they had really not planned on. They had come to do good but received only evil in return. They had come with the hope that God would work through their witness and set people free, only to have their freedom taken away. But with their imprisonment came a new, unexpected, unplanned opportunity to let their light shine. We may set out to do one thing, but God may have something else, something totally different in mind. Paul and Silas' response to their undeserved confinement was to worship, to praise God. Instead of cursing God or crying to Him, as many prisoners must have done, they chose to sing to Him songs of praise. Paul and Silas, no doubt due to their physical condition, couldn't sleep. Bruised and bleeding, with their feet held fast in stocks, they found it difficult to find a comfortable position. At midnight, the missionaries prayed, and their prayer led them to sing praises. The prison walls, which were accustomed only to the echoes of groans and sighs, were now resounding with the praise and joy of God. We too have choices with regard to how we will respond to life's unfair blows. We can be broken by them and seethe in resentment over them, or we can look within them for some new reason to praise God. In their worshipful response to their imprisonment, they ended up performing an amazing witness to God. Paul and Silas sang because of their faith, because Christ was with them and giving them strength. They sang because they couldn't help but sing. They weren't throwing a pity party because of the situation they were in. They weren't raking their cups across the bars and yelling about the injustice. They were singing. They were singing praises. Praises to God. They had been stripped, beaten with rods, imprisoned, and put in chains. Their backs were lacerated, bloody, swollen mass of flesh. They sat in excruciating pain in a dark, smelly, rat and roach infested dungeon, and they sang praises to God. Their light shined in the darkest of dark places. This is incredible. This is incredible. They sang praises to God. And all the time, though they never dreamed it, they were serving as a strong witness for God to others better than they knew. Those around them, the other prisoners and the jailers, they witnessed their faith and were blessed by it. Their light, their faith, flowed from who they were. They didn't think about it. It was just who they were, and they ministered to those around them unintentionally. And what happened? The jailer saw their witness, their light, and his household, he and his household, believed in God. Paul and Silas had no intention of going to jail when they set off for Philippi, no intention of ministering to the jailer or his family, but they did minister because of who they were, because who they were on the inside shone on the outside. They were God's witnesses. The first memory I have of Paul Johnson, and it's not Paul Johnson that's here this morning, who was here for many years at this church in my position. Paul Johnson, one of my dad's very good friends, one of his oldest friends. The first memory that I have of him was when I was about 5 years old, and I had gotten some boxing gloves and a punching bag, and I was showing off to everybody that came by the house. I had some mad boxing skills. Well, Paul came by, and I had everything set up in the living room, and I showed off my boxing skills, and then he said, "Oh, you know, you're pretty good." He said, "Why don't you see if you can hit me right here on the chin?" And I remember thinking, "Whoa, I better not do that because I might knock you out." But he said, "No, come on, go ahead and try." So I hit him. Now, what I didn't know was that Paul had a partial denture up top, and when I hit him, he popped it out and flipped it around on purpose in his mouth, back and forth. And I screamed and ran and hid, and I didn't speak to him for months. Now, of course, everybody thought that was just a hysterical scene. And looking back, it was. But at the time, it was terrifying. But my only recollection of Paul is him as a good man, a kind-hearted jokester. But my dad had known him for a long time and remembered him when he was a hard-drinking, fast-living kind of man. Paul had lived a hard life in his younger days. The Paul I knew was a different Paul than the one my dad had first met. Paul had changed somewhere along the line. He was still Paul Johnson. He still loved fishing and working on old cars, and he enjoyed his work. He did plaster and drywall work. He still always had a joke or two, though they were a little cleaner than before. But he was different. You see, Paul had become a Christian. God had done a work in him and changed him for the better. And I can remember my parents talking about Paul and my dad saying things like, how different he was, better different. There was a calm and joy about him that my dad had not ever seen. Now, Paul wasn't shy about what God had done in his life, and he gave God the credit, but he also was very private in his faith, and he didn't push it. He just lived it, and we all saw it. Paul would deal with major issues in his life, and never was he shaken or distraught because he trusted God, and we knew he trusted God. There was a light that shined from within him, and that light was God. And Paul had made his everyday normal life a witness for God. You know, it's funny how God works sometimes. Paul was the person who invited my father, my dad, to come to church. The day my dad's company had folded, and he had made a big investment that was no good, it went belly up. But the day that the company went under, he'd come home that afternoon, and before he could get up to the house, Paul came driving up the driveway. Now, Paul didn't know what had happened. He was just stopping by to visit. But while he and Dad were talking, he looked at my dad and he said, Jack, I don't know why, but I keep getting this thought to invite you to come to church this Sunday. Now, I know we don't talk about stuff like this, but I really would like for you all to come to church with us. Paul had let his light shine for years. He had been a great witness for God. And unbeknownst to him, through the Holy Spirit, he was doing a great work at that moment in the life of a man who had been broken by this world and needed a light in a dark place. A man and his family who at that moment didn't know how much they needed God. I'm falling apart here. We went to church that Sunday, and our lives changed forever, for the better, through the work of God in his Holy Spirit. God calls us to be a witness. He calls us to shine our light everywhere and all the time. God doesn't call us to do great and mighty things. He just calls us to live a life that glorifies him, a life that shines his light, a life that is a witness for God. We just live every day for God. And he'll take care of the great and mighty things. Be God's witness. Shine your light like a man named Paul. To God be all glory forever and ever. Amen.